I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local, and it's your connection to local music and more. We have what I hope you will agree is an interesting show for you today. There is a musical in process being created virtually as we sit here by the two people with whom I am sitting, and they are Robert Picklesheimer, who is director of Creative Dramatic Workshop in Sydney, Illinois, and Lucinda Lawrence, who is a bands librarian at the University of Illinois and also teaches an arranging class there and is a composer. She's writing the music for, and Bob is writing the libretto for, a new musical inspired by the musical 1776. They're calling it 1787, We the People. We will find out why it's called that and lots more about it. Hopefully hear some rehearsal clips, and we'll go from there. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that was a very familiar melody, the opening movement from Eine kleine Nachtmusik, or A Little Night Music, A Little Serenade by Mozart, played here by Kramerata Baltica, led by its namesake, Gidon Kramer, from a wonderful disc, by the way, which I really recommend highly. It's called After Mozart on the Nonesuch label. It's got a few Mozart tunes, and then it has three other pieces inspired by Mozart that are really, really fascinating music, I think. Anyway, this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And with me in the studio on the show today, Lucinda Lawrence, who is a university bands librarian at the University of Illinois, teaches an arranging class there. She's a composer. And she is working with my other guest, Robert Picklesheimer, who is a director of Creative Dramatics Workshop in Sydney. And they are creating a new musical called 1787, We the People, inspired at least in part by the musical called 1776, which is where I met Bob how many years ago, I don't remember, in a production of that musical by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company.
It was 93.
93. Wow.
Yeah.
It was still, in my memory and the memory of many people who saw it, one of the best productions that that company has ever done.
I think it was about their third or fourth production. Everybody was really excited, and the fall was packed. We remember that.
Yeah, it is a wonderful show, and it was a really good production. I'd love to do it again sometime. And so my interest was certainly piqued when I heard you guys were creating this thing, and you contacted me about it. So in any event, thank you very much for coming in.
We're really glad to be here. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, so either one of you, just give us an idea of the genesis of this whole project, because that's really the starting point.
This is one of my favorite stories in this regard. I received a call from a colleague over in the School of Music, and I say over because band's building is across campus from the music building. And she was calling me because I am, as you say, on the books as the arranging teacher for the bands, and she had someone contacting her for a recommendation for someone to arrange the music for a musical. Well, this was Bob, and so I said, put him on the phone, and I talked with him, and you know how this goes. Always, you try to find someone you can recommend appropriately and skate having to do anything yourself, of course. And I recommended a friend I have from college days who still is here in town, and Bob said, well, yes, he'd contacted him, and he would have been great, but he was too booked. And so I said, okay, well, we'll talk a little bit further. And the more I learned about the piece, as the work he had in mind, the more I became interested in it. I kept having to ask him, and stalling for time, of course, tell me more about the piece, tell me more about it. And I said, well, as I learned more, I realized that what he really needed was not so much an arranger as a composer, because while he had some rhythms and general ideas of the contour of the melodies, he didn't really have the tunes yet. Well, hiring a composer or finding a composer is a different can of worms, really, from just hiring or finding someone to do the arranging. And as I learned over the course of a few weeks, I would ask him more things, trying to think, okay, who among my colleagues could do this and do it well? Who do I know from years past? And the more I learned about the subject matter, the more I became compelled to do it myself. It was one of those, okay, Lucinda, you cannot not take this on yourself. It's a subject of passion for me, and the timing was right for my idea to get back into composing again. So I suggested to Bob, okay, I will consider doing this. Let's get started. I remembered back from teaching a collaboration class years back in the dance department, collaboration for composers and choreographers, that you really have to find a good match. So I suggested that let's get started. If it doesn't work, if we don't have a good fit, it's not because we're bad people or anything like that. It's just that it's not a good fit. Let's see how it goes. And after a few meetings, we'll see if we want to continue. And then after a few more meetings, we'll see if we want to continue. Well, I think we found in very short order a good working relationship. And we just really clicked. And I certainly have not been sorry at all. It's been a wonderful experience. And Bob, I have found, is just brilliant and knows his stuff and brings so much experience. I think we're pretty complementary in our experience that we bring to this.
Speaking of knowing his stuff, there's a lot of this history around that time of the American Revolution that you're clearly thoroughly up on, and somehow, I mean, what has interested you about this time, and then where did you get the idea to create this project and then take it to Lucinda in the first place?
Well, you mentioned a little while ago that I was in the 1776 back in 93, and since then, you mentioned the Creative Dramatics Workshop. It's a little theater, 50 seats in Sydney, an old church. And mainly have done things with adapting fairy tales and a few other stories, pieces of literature. We try to be pretty literary in Sydney. And in fact, they're doing Little Women in December, someone else is. But it's an adaptation of the story that somebody locally has written up.
And this is mostly for young people.
Yeah, mostly for young people we've done in Sydney. But I've been playing around with doing things like that. I did do an adaptation of William Faulkner's As I Lay Dying, for instance, which sort of a dark comedy, and people like that very much. So I've been working on adapting other pieces of literature or stories. And it's about 10 years ago or so, or maybe more, I've always been interested in this subject. There's a couple of other historical subjects. I did a brief play on the death of Christopher Columbus, another historical subject, and adapted from from another source. But this one I'd been long interested in, and I didn't even know if there was anything to it. But I started researching it. Found a couple of books, including Miracle in Philadelphia was the name of the book. And it looked like there were some interesting aspects, some comic aspects and some serious aspects to the people who wrote the Constitution, similar to using as a model the 1776.
Which is about creation of the Declaration
of Independence. But ironically, the 1776 was based a lot upon letters between John Adams and his wife Abigail. But James Madison actually did, he took notes on the proceeding of the convention. And so you have to actually have details about what actually happened, and found it was an exciting story. I had some ideas for songs, ways to go about it. They have groups in the play that are called the Grumbletonians, the people who don't like the Constitution. They actually called them the older patriots and younger lions. There's all sorts of stuff that had some great bits. And in fact, the bits you played at the beginning, the Ina Klein and Nock music, there are two congressmen or representatives sent from New York, and their main job is to vote against anything Alexander Hamilton votes for. And I knew that could be a comic bit because they're overjoyed when he leaves. And Lucinda adapted that song and some things like that. But was interested in the subject and had already was doing an outline and some details and had some ideas for songs when I went to the music department. I talked to some others first and said, hey, do you have anybody who could do this? And she called Lucinda and said, why don't you go over and talk to her? I didn't know Lucinda from anybody. And we started talking, as Lucinda mentioned, and it seemed to be working out very well. And yes, I didn't know what I was asking for. I don't think she knew what she was getting herself into either. But it's been a really exciting project. And what she said is, working together, it's sort of nice. I have some awareness of music, but I have no music skills, really. And it's nice when we can talk and I can say, well, does that sound right? And Lucinda can talk to me and say, hey, you need to cut half that song out to do it. And it works out really well. We're free to say to each other, hey, we need this, we don't need that. And the great thing is we've been workshopping it some. We've had some meetings locally with people, and also they're doing this opera studio thing next Wednesday and Thursday night next week at the Caldwell Playhouse at the Cranert. And the opera division of the Department of Music saw some potential to it, and they're doing it coupled with the other half of the show is Don Giovanni. They're doing it as part of a class, opera studio, which is free. But it's another chance for us to see what's going on and really workshop it as we go so we can produce it in a couple years like we're planning.
Well, we'll talk more about that production next week in a minute, because we've also got some rehearsal clips of putting that together, which are kind of interesting. I wanted to play a little bit from the musical 1776 because, as you said, that was in many ways and the inspiration for all this. And here's one segment. I'll let you explain it after we hear it, where this comes historically and how that might have inspired your new musical. This is from the original Broadway cast of 1969, 1776. It's called The Lees of Old Virginia.
My name is Richard Henry Lee, Virginia is my home. My name is Richard Henry Lee, Virginia is my home. Everywhere, Ali, forward, forward.
I think that song is hilarious. It said, The Lees of Old Virginia, sung by the character Richard Henry Lee. That's from the original Broadway cast of the musical 1776. And the inspiration for Bob Picklesheimer, too. Start creating a new musical called 1787, We the People. And we're talking about it here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And we'll hear some clips of some of the songs you've created with composer Lucinda Lawrence, who's also with us. So that particular, you mentioned that particular song representing something from the history of the Declaration that translates a little bit into your new show.
Well, because basically the design of the show, 1776 is clearly the template. They go back to Independence Hall in order to do the Constitution as well. There were some other rules. It was a little more secret because nobody was really aware they were revising the whole Constitution. They thought they were going to just change around the Articles of Confederation. But the reason why I mentioned Lees of Virginia to you earlier is it's a comic tune, and we've gone out of our way to do some comic tunes to do the mix in 1787 as well. It's not just a dry, boring chronicle of what they discussed. There's five, six, seven opportunities for good humor in 1787, one of which is when Hamilton gets up and sings, "We ought to be more like the British." And, of course, they've just revolted against the British, and so everybody hoots him down, and they sing another song, America the Miracle, that America is like no other country, and that's what we're going to create here. And so many of the comic bits lead into serious bits, and that's what happened in 1776 as well. And that's why I suggested that song. It shows some of the humor, and we have some humorous tunes, I think, in quite a few, in fact.
I have to say that the range of emotion spans the gamut from the most poignant, riveting drama all the way up to just silly, silly humor, comic bits in it. And I believe we're finding a good balance there and a good pacing of those from beginning to the end of the whole work. Right now we're focused especially on this opera studio production, concert format presentation. But we're, at the same time, Bob and I are working on the overall production, which we hope to have finished and ready in a couple of years.
Well, let's talk about this opera studio production. I actually forgot to bring the info. I hope you have all that. There it is. This is the University of Illinois School of Music Opera Studio. It's directed by Don Harris and Ricardo Herrera. And it's going to be on the 18th and 19th, which are a week from today and tomorrow.
Correct.
7:30 at the Caldwell Playhouse at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, as Bob mentioned earlier. It includes excerpts from Mozart's Don Giovanni and excerpts in workshop form of this 1787 We the People. I attended part of the rehearsal last week, I guess it was, and made some sort of crude recordings here of some of the process. So why don't I play the first one that I have, and then I'm interested to know what your reaction to this process has been, because
okay.
I know you talked to me about it afterwards, and you're learning some stuff as you listen to the music. But so here is the first segment that we happen to have with us. This is in workshop form from 1787, We the People, created by Bob Picklesheimer and Lucinda Lawrence, here on Live and Local.
Gentlemen, I propose that we be more like the British. We ought to drink tea and eat scones.
Nay, no, sir.
No, sir.
No.
I disagree.
Do that again, guys.
Are we supposed to respond?
Yes.
Okay.
No, sir. Nay, we will not.
Okay.
We went through this one.
Now, gentlemen, I propose that we are to be more like the British.
No, we are to
drink
tea.
I mean, scones. Let me finish mine.
No!
Hey,
then it's right. Then it goes right into it. There's just a couple of lines by Hamilton. So I need to get you guys in there.
We're the most singular of people.
From a rehearsal last week by members of the University of Illinois Opera Studio, as they are workshopping a new creation called 1787, We the People, a piece of musical theater. Bob Picklesheimer making the book and lyrics, Lucinda Lawrence, the music and settings of other people's music in a few cases. And in that performance, you heard most prominently John Deal in the role of Charles Pinckney, aristocratic young leader from South Carolina, he's described here. So, and this is on Live and Local on FM 90.9. So, Bob and Lucinda, tell us a little bit about that scene, what you thought maybe before you saw it come together here, and then what you thought after you actually saw it in rehearsal.
When we started that particular piece, it was entirely too long, for example, and I cannot say enough about the contribution that the Opera Studio has made in helping us develop and discover these sort of things about the work. The business of adding people in was a part of this. The drama in that particular spot is Pinckney going against saying what I'm sure everyone else in the room thinks there in Philadelphia Hall, or in Constitution Hall in Philadelphia, that what be like more like the British, you're out of your mind. And he stands up and voices that opinion. And as you can hear by the end of the piece, several other of the delegates stand up and support him, likewise, figuratively, and in their singing choral music behind him. And I have a particular problem, if you will, but it's a unique opportunity as well in writing the music for this work. Nearly all the characters are men. There's an enormous cast for the entire work. And when you have to stay basically in that limited tessitura, it's a bit of a problem. And that has compelled me to provide variety in as many ways as I can, other than having women's voices in the mix. For example, we have some women, but they largely have roles for which they sing solo works, although for the opera studio, we've worked them more women into the mix than we would have had otherwise. And I also found reason to write parody. Parody was a very important political tool of the period, so I utilize that. I use some music of the period and other periods as well to mix up the variety of styles of music.
And as we heard in that little clip, there are some quotations from other tunes even within your own songs.
Oh, I am highly dependent, or I don't do it on purpose necessarily, but when it just comes out, I like to include quotes. One of the tunes that was important to the period was Yankee Doodle, of course. Yankee Doodle, comma, of course. And that title surfaces sort of throughout the entire work, and it is one of the tunes that comes up in the finale.
Now, that actual America, the miracle that was sung, the actual events at the convention, maybe a third of the way into the convention, they made a determination, and it was Pinckney, among others, who said, we're going to have a unique government. It's not going to be like any other. And that song, America the Miracle, is also brought back again later in the play. It becomes the finale when everyone is singing. And when you have the full range of voices as opposed to the one solo that you just heard, it's fuller. There's more to it. A lot is going on with that I think is very interesting. And I should mention the three main women that are in the play Dolly Madison shows up. She's not even met James Madison at the time, and we have a song where she talks about what she's going to do eventually, her and others. Eliza Hamilton, who is devoted to her husband, Alexander, and then also a character called Molly Pitcher, who's sort of a conglomerate of characters called Molly Pitchers. And so we do have some women's voices, but they're not, they're as she said, as Lucinda said, they're individual and show up here and there.
Here's another clip from 1776. This is one of the tunes also, Bob, you suggested in advance. And again, I'll play this and tell me how this might fit in, you know, in your own inspiration. for 1787. We're talking with Bob Picklesheimer and Lucinda Lawrence, creator of the of a new musical called 1787, We the People. It is in creation. It's still in process, and we'll hear a few more clips later on of that process. But here's from the original Broadway cast of the musical 1776. This is a tune called Is Anybody There?
Is anybody there? Squad Americans, free forevermore!
From 1776, Is Anybody There? Sung by the character of John Adams here, William Daniels, who was in the original Broadway cast, as we just heard, and also in the film version of that musical, heard in Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Craft League of Champaign-Urbana, presenting their 27th annual Arts and Craft Show and Sale on November 21st and 22nd at the Urbana Civic Center. Opens Saturday 10 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. More information is at 367-9546. I'm Kevin Kelly. My guests on the show today are Bob Picklesheimer, writing book and lyrics, and Lucinda Lawrence, writing the music and other settings for a new musical called 1787, We the People, around the creation of the U.S. Constitution. So, Bob, that song, where does that fit into your thinking about 1787?
Well, it basically has to do with John Adams. Many who remember 1776 remember that John Adams and Jefferson and Franklin were the prime movers of that musical, but also of getting the Declaration written and what have you. And in 1787, We the People, the prime movers are James Madison and Alexander Hamilton are the two prime movers, and they get George Washington involved. And he becomes an important character. Those three are probably the ones that are the prime movers of the Constitution. And George Washington had already retired from public life, and he had said he's not coming back. But for this purpose and seeing, and the way this 1787 is structured, the Shays Rebellion starts out the play, and the chaos that's going on under the Articles of Confederation becomes clear. And he comes back mainly because he wants to see the government put together. That he wants to see a government that is constituted in a way that it can function without turning into chaos and what have you. And Madison, known as the father of the Constitution, is the one who writes the basic idea. Things get changed from what he wanted. But we even have a song later on. Benjamin Franklin also comes back. It's a year before he died in Philadelphia. And Ben Franklin actually does some contributions, but that's later on. And I think you have a song here that might refer to it's the three or four main characters, Madison and Hamilton and their wives and George Washington, who sing Who Are We?, which is our act break.
Okay. I think this is the next clip we have from last week's rehearsal from the University of Illinois Opera Studio, which is workshopping this piece and putting on segments of the show next Wednesday and Thursday at the Krannert Center, 7:30 each evening, along with some excerpts from a Mozart opera. So this is from 1787, We the People, from the Opera Studio.
The principles of 1787 describe where they have been, where they are, and most importantly, someday, where they will be going.
members of the University of Illinois Opera Studio in rehearsal last week of segments of 1787, We the People, book and lyrics by Robert Picklesheimer, music and settings by Lucinda Lawrence. They're both with me in the studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. So that particular scene.
Well, it's the ones you heard were Alexander Hamilton, his wife Eliza, and then Dolly Madison. And they were basically singing what they had done and what they were going to do. And it's a fairly long song. We're actually cutting down some of the songs. Mm-hmm. But the end part of it is George Washington. And he sings at the end that they asked me to be the king of all I survey, the president for as long as I live, and I can command as I might wish. And he said, but these are not my slaves and subjects. These are my friends and neighbors. And we'll have no kings again, is the way he ends the act. And I'll let Lucinda comment on the music.
Well, we have learned through the workshop contributions of the opera studio how valuable it is. I can't say that enough, really. They have shown us, Bob and me, that we need to edit this, and we have done so already. We're not in time enough for the performance next week. We don't want to change things on the students yet. But that particular song will remain significantly intact. But we have, I'm changing some of the rhythms on the someday, for example, and meter in there, just to have a long song have a little more variety within the song.
So just illustrating the importance of hearing your music, because it's very different when you write it down on the page,
play
it on the piano by yourself, and you write the text and you think, okay, I want to include all this stuff. And then, as you said earlier, Lucinda said you can't include all that stuff. You got to make it shorter. Then you see it for real and you think, oh, it still needs to be made shorter. Or, as you said, some rhythm doesn't work with the text. Or
this is a part of the process, and the opera studio students who are participating in this are getting the opportunity to learn what this entire process is for a new work. They get to experience this firsthand. Hats off to Don Harris for being brave enough to undertake this with us. She got the idea of it from some of the workshop experience we'd had earlier. She was invited to participate. Didn't realize that she would take this leap of faith, really, for us. And we're so appreciative of her work in this.
She was the director of these scenes for the studio and also choreographing those that needed some choreography. And for the performance next week, performance says there's two opportunities to hear these portions of 1787, along with segments from Mozart's Don Giovanni by the U of I Opera Studio. It's Wednesday and Thursday of next week in the Krannert Center, 7:30 each evening at the Caldwell Playhouse.
And that's free of charge.
Free of charge, as are all of the studio, opera studio productions.
I wanted to mention one thing, that Lucinda has an advanced degree in composition, music composition, and mine is in theater. And I've done a lot of theater works I mentioned earlier, and think I understand the dynamics of theater. But when you actually start seeing it, and this is an expansion for me into musical theater, you know, I couldn't very well in a 50-seat house do a 50-person musical, so that's why we're expanding and so on. But yeah, there's an awful lot we're learning, and the student, what Lucinda said, I was just echoing.
The next clip we have was actually foreshadowed by my introductory music at the top of the show, played the opening of Eine kleine Nachtmusik of Mozart, which you steal shamelessly.
Well,
for this next segment.
Done in those days.
It was done in those
Mozart
days.
Mozart suffered terribly from that.
Exactly. But, you know, he's public domain. So why did you choose this tune to parody in this next excerpt?
I have to say, it's almost as if the tune chose me or chose Bob. Bob's lyrics lended a particular rhythm and meter as I read them. And by the way, I would have him read his lyrics to me, and I would record that and work from his reading of the words sometimes to give me an idea and make sure I could work when we were not together, then working on my own to compose music. Well, these lyrics, gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. These two characters, the other two delegates from New York, I picture as Tweedledum and Tweedledee, honestly, in the atmosphere. And these two silly, silly characters are singing this, and the lyrics, as I repeated them mentally, just came about to me that, oh, this could go gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. And I thought, oh, that will work, and that will add, again, more variety. I don't have to depend on just one person's music here in the entire show. And I got started on setting these lyrics and then thought, oh, you know, I wonder if perhaps Ina Kleina was not yet written at this point. And of course, I went to Grove Dictionary and looked it up. And lo and behold, much to my surprise, it was premiered in 1787, not until August of that year. But I thought, okay, that's a sign I have to use this piece.
Yeah, the period.
Unbelievable coincidence.
Yes.
Just confirming that it was a good thing to use.
That's
and
right.
In fact, she played that tune, among others, for Eduardo Dios Munoz out at the UVI Opera Department. And out of that grew, I think, this opera studio combining Mozart and 1787, which is the same period.
Right.
Well, here's we do get a little bit of the spoken introduction that's used in the production next week to this parody. I hope the words don't come through all that well. This was my own sort of homemade recording of this rehearsal from last week at the opera studio. But here we go. This is from 1787, We the People on Live and Local.
Hamilton, embarrassed by demanding that we ought to be like the British, has left the convention. The other two representatives from New York, Robert Lansing and Robert Yates, whose only mission at the convention was to vote against everything Hamilton voted for, overjoyed that their nemesis Hamilton is gone, celebrated with, "He's gone, he's gone."
Gone, he's gone, he's gone, his mind is gone, he's away.
Lucinda Lawrence's take on Mozart with text by Robert Picklesheimer from the musical 1787, We the People, in rehearsal last week by the University of Illinois Opera Studio, which is going to present scenes from the musical next week, along with scenes from Mozart's Don Giovanni at the Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. We'll talk about, have a couple of other clips, one from 1776 and one from 1787, and relate those a bit. I want to take a break and give you a few events in our area that you can go out and see and hear. The Veterans Day Big Band Dance at the new Lafayette Club in Normal is tonight at 7 o'clock. This is Veterans Day, of course. Percussionist Rocky Moffitt is giving a Prairie Breezes mini concert for kids at the Urbana Free Library in Urbana tonight at 7:15. Jazz trumpet faculty member at the University of Illinois, Tito Carrillo, is giving a recital tonight at the Krannert Center in Urbana. That is at 7:30. Tomorrow, the Illinois State University Chamber Orchestra is performing at the Center for the Performing Arts on the ISU campus in Normal. That is at 8 o'clock. Also at ISU, an opera practicum performance at Kemp Recital Hall tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Krannert Center, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, Dina Vermette presents her program called Lady Sings the Ladies. That's at 7:30 each of those evenings. And as long as we're talking about Mozart, the opera The Marriage of Figaro is being performed by the U of I Opera Department, presented at the Krannert Center Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and there's a matinee on Sunday. And those are just some of the items I've got on my calendar. Please send us your items at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. Let us know about a group you might be involved in, and we can put it on the calendar and maybe have somebody connected with that group or event on the program. Lucinda Lawrence and Bob Picklesheimer with me. We've got one other segment from your show and a lead-in from 1776. When you're looking for musical inspiration from some of the older tunes, or even some from contemporary tunes, like you quote America in the one song, do these just pop in your mind as you hear Bob do some of the texts? Or did you have, you mentioned earlier that Bob had some tunes in mind when he came to you.
Well, he had tune-ish ideas. he had notion, certainly the meter and the rhythm, he had some ideas about that. He's a poet as well, so it's not completely new territory for him. And I have to say, I would just listen to the words and the sound of the words coming in meter, in rhythm, and try to imagine. I also try to figure out a style based on the fundamental atmosphere, the emotional content of the lyrics. And yeah, then I will sit and doodle at the piano and that sort of thing. Sometimes I found I would have to I was trying to work on that Who Are We tune at one point, and it was a completely different song entirely, and I just kept working and working, and it just was not happening. And I knew then that I should not try to force it. I had decided, okay, I'm putting that one away and letting it sit. And fortunately, we have the luxury of being able to do that. I'm not meeting a deadline yet at this point, or at that point I wasn't. And so I put it away, and while working just one night, late at night, what I call doodling at the piano and messing about, I came upon something, and I thought, oh, that's worth using, actually, at the moment when I was playing something and singing. I sing along with myself, no words, just la la or something. And I thought, oh, that's worth keeping. And so then I pulled out my notebook and I started flipping through to see, well, I wonder what would fit that sort of style. And the Who Are We came up. And so I matched the two, and I threw away, well, I didn't throw it away. I put it in this, at the end of the binder is this section called Not Used. I keep it for later.
You're describing the creative process that so many people use, whether the writing, music, or words, or a number of other things.
Right.
I want to be sure we have time to get in these last couple of songs. This is probably the single most powerful song from the musical 1776, and it's sung by the character of the gentleman from South Carolina. Forgetting his name. In any event, it's called Molasses to Rum.
Molasses to rum to slaves. Oh, what a...
Make on the slaves, click, clink. Then hail and farewell to the smell of the African coast.
When you hear that song in performance, it just actually is doing it to me right now, sending chills up my spine. It's incredibly powerful to both the music, the accompaniment underneath it, and the whole sentiment of what Charles Rutledge is the character we figured out singing to the gentleman from South Carolina from the musical 1776, the original Broadway cast. So there's a tune that directly inspired in your show, 1787.
Yeah, ironically, the same conflict occurs in 1787 of slavery. And John Rutledge, who's the brother, I think it might have been Edward Rutledge, but his brother, known as Dictator John out of South Carolina, he comes back in 1787. But in 1776, they sing about slavery. The white men sing about what a curse it is. While in 1787, we actually have the slave of Washington, who was there, sing to the rest of the cast about being three-fifths a man, which is the subject of slavery still and what a curse it is, and have a great young man who's singing it out there. And we started very low. It's based upon the old spiritual Deep River, which is very low, Deep River. And then he takes it up. And I think you have the section where he takes it up.
Yeah. Well, it begins low and then comes up, and then he does a little sort of gospel stylizing with it. Mm-hmm. This says the character is Jackson, the personal valet slave to George Washington. I think you're right. It was Edward Rutledge, by the way. There was a Charles in there, too. I don't know who it was. And the singer is Jonathan Butler Duplessis. I'm not sure how he says his last name. From the U of I Opera Studio. This, again, was in rehearsal last week at the Krannert Center, which we captured very briefly. Jonathan Butler Duplessis, not sure if I'm saying his name right, apologies if I'm not, in the role of Jackson, the personal valet and slave to George Washington, from the musical 1787, We the People, heard in rehearsal last week at the Krannert Center by members of the University of Illinois Opera Studio. Remington Clark was the pianist there. And music, of course, adapted from a spiritual. Lucinda Lawrence made that setting, and Robert Picklesheimer. The book and lyrics for this show, and Lucinda Lawrence also composing original music for this new production. It's a musical that is in process, still fairly early in the process, but you can hear and see some scenes from it next week at the Opera Studio performances, Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 at the Krannert Center, along with scenes from Mozart's Don Giovanni. Bob and Lucinda, thanks very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
This is the first chance people have to see this publicly.
Yeah, so. It's a great opportunity to see a work in process.
And it's being semi-stage, so.
Yeah. It's exciting. Good luck with the rest of it.
Thank you.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And coming up in less than a minute, we've got news headlines from NPR. And then classical music for you at 106. Forecast is somewhere on my desk. Sunny skies this afternoon, the high around 60. Tonight, clear with patchy frost, the low 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high 62, currently 58. It's WYLL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.